Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 59 for December 11th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also watch or listen to the audio-only version of all episodes as podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put together the list of top requests. Which I will be sharing. So we're going to get through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Dean of Follow Me Trades, but he is off this week, and I have Mike Pisani here to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on again. Pleasure to be with everybody here. We have an exciting hour ahead of us. There's so much to talk about in this market, and there's so many big moves going on right now that, we could probably spend 4 hours, all three of us, sitting here talking, but we just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. But that said, I have a couple great guys here with me today, and I'd like to give them a chance to introduce themselves. And since Jeremy has to leave a little early today, I'll let Jeremy start. Jeremy Newsom of RealLifeTrading.com. Tell us about yourself and what you do, Jeremy.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. And thank you, David, and for all the fans of Analyze Your Trade. Love the show. Love being back. My name is Jeremy Alexander Newsom. I'm 30 years old, and I retired from Nationwide Insurance at the age of 24. I was an auto adjuster and started trading full-time at that particular point in my life and haven't looked back since. Love the markets, love teaching, love helping, and love being here. So thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. We also have Neil Batho of Trading, TradingReview.net. I looked at the wrong way.
Trader Review.
Sorry about that, Neil. Tell us about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Thanks again for having me on the show, everyone. I used to be a broker at a big firm right out of college, and I realized very soon in our training, which they sent us to the East Coast and was fun for a while, that you're not actually there to pick stocks, unfortunately. You're just there to manage clients and gather assets. So mostly the only thing a broker's going to do is gather your assets. And the only brokers will save you at the very bottom because they'll never, ever let you sell. So at least they will definitely do that for you. But they'll also never, ever get you out at the top. So they're going to let you hold through 40% downturns. And I wasn't going to do something like that. So I did business consulting for a while. And then I started up Trader Review. And I actually use the technicals that I learned when I was a broker. Point and figure charting is my main indicator. And I used that doing a seminar with some guys from my office. So that was great. And now I implement the Ichimoku Cloud as well, put them together and send out the best picks I can for my readers.
Thanks, Neil. Guys, I'm Mike Pisani. I am founder of SmartOptionTrading.com. I do this for a living, kind of like everybody else here. And something Jeremy said that I think is important. We all do this for a living and you have to love it. And if you don't love it, you shouldn't be doing this because there's days like the weeks like this where it's just not easy. So what I do is I follow the option flow and I use technicals and I look for volume and I let that make my trading decisions on a daily basis. I prefer to swing trade, but I've also learned through a lot of hard times and figuring out that I'll take what the market gives me. So for the last 2 months, I've been green just about every day and being a scalp trader and just taking what I can get and putting money in my pocket on a daily basis. And the option flow really tells the story. And the one thing I would tell you here is they're still saying that they do not want to own this stock market. And that's the one thing today that screamed louder than anything else. There was almost no big bull bets into any type of name. So with that said, guys, we come into today. Market's been volatile lately, right? And very, very volatile, big, wide swings. And so I'm going to let Jeremy, you go first, since you are going to be out first. I'll go Jeremy, Neil, and I'll go last. We'll keep that order throughout this. Sure. The first symbol they want to talk about today is ADC. So why don't you start us off with this one, Jeremy?
Absolutely. And let me get my screen sharing turned on just so that people can see kind of also what I'm looking at. Make sure this is the right one. Perfect. And so ADC, I mean, this was a really great request. I'm glad for those of you who did ask for it because REITs, they are an interesting play. Right now, a lot of people are afraid of tech and they're afraid of the big names like FANG, Amazon, Apple, Google. And so a lot of people are hopping over to REITs to try to catch the dividend play, catch the yields. And right now, I mean, I like a lot of REITs. I have not looked at this one intently before, meaning I usually look at O, which is Realty Income, Iron Mountain, ticker symbol IRM. There's a few others out there that I like. think American Tower, but Agree Realty Corporation, nice REIT. This is the weekly chart. And what I really do like about it is it does seem to have a pretty easy Elliott wave count to it. I'm a really big wave fan. And if I'm looking at down here, some type of one, perhaps a two, a three wave extension, a four, and a five. Now, again, we don't know where this wave five is going to end. But what I could say is also we're probably right in the middle of a one, two, this is a three of the five. So this is a really strong wave. Oops, I did not mean to do that. And so at some point, we're going to see a little bit of a retracement and a dip buying opportunity. You probably don't want to buy right now because it's literally at the highest that it's ever been today, made a new all-time high. So if you're looking at playing this one, in my personal opinion, I'd probably be looking to place an entry where a bunch of stops are at. So right around here, 58.74. If we get a nice little quick snapback correction, I'd love to see a buy off of 58.74. The stop below the 50 EMA, so down here at about 57. Have yourself about $1.50, $2 worth of risk, and then just go ahead and play the direction of the trend on ADC. And that's my thoughts, gentlemen.
Thank you. Neil, what are your thoughts on ADC?
Hey, Jeremy, do you sell any courses to draw as nice a charts as you can do? Because I would like to buy
Thank you. A lot of practice.
I was hoping it maybe it's a bonus or something. Just let me know. Send me a message later.
Sure.
So I got the ADC here, and it's true. Yeah, REITs are doing great. And EQR is another one that I sent out to my guys a few weeks ago. But the thing about REITs is that rent never really ever goes down. I mean, try to ask your landlord to lower your rent. That's never going to happen. Only in extreme recessions is it going to happen. But yeah, something like this, you got to little bit of this inverse candle here. I don't like it so much. Sorry, I can't draw the beautiful lines that we just had. But yeah, if I was going to buy it, maybe down here on a pullback or even on a breakout, because sometimes these Elliott waves, I know you get the one, two, three, but sometimes they push it a little bit more. But yeah, I would just hold off right now, either a pullback or maybe a really serious breakout, maybe a 64 with a nice candle.
Thank you, sir. So I'm a little bit opposed to REITs. And one of the reasons is I think they're investments. They're not trades. So for me, there's not enough volume on the daily charts here for me to ever want to think about day trading this, right? It just doesn't, you know, I want at least a million shares a day traded on average, prefer two, but at least a million, because if I'm going to take a shot on common, I want to know I can get in and out of the damn thing and I'm not getting, you know, screwed over by the market makers as they're like, we're not going to fill you because it's not liquid name and good luck. You just, you know, you're going to get the loser. That said, it's a beautiful looking chart. I'll be the first to tell you this is absolutely a gorgeous chart. I kind of agree here. I don't necessarily want to try to buy it here. I'd like to see if it can pull back in a little bit. That 21 day around 59.50 area to me would be a perfect spot. It would go to it. That said, if this name is really strong, it should test 60 and hold. And the way I always look at that is if a name comes back down and it retests where it breaks out from and it holds, that is a sign of incredible strength. So if it was to come down, hit it, bounce off there and start running again, that would be an idea to try to buy it. So I agree with the other guy said. But yeah, if you like REITs, this is as good a chart as you're going to get out there. Jeremy, back to you. ELS.
Beautiful. And so I fully agree with you, by the way, Mike. I think REITs are much better longer term investments than a shorter term trade. You know, you can get some good plays on them, but it can get a little tricky at times. The interesting thing about ELS, we're looking at ourselves another REIT, right? This is a lifestyles property. And again, look at this trend. I mean, magnificent. And Neil, as far as the drawing goes, I know I noticed that you also use TradingView. There's this little brush right here that you'll probably like a lot. I think you had the stay in drawing mode. So if you click this little brush, you can do all kinds of cool things. Some nice, really fast drawing. So I really like this retracement. I like the dip. This was a previous all-time high from 2016. You can see this really gorgeous S-curve, rotation, retracement. So what is really interesting on ELS, very similar to just the previous one that we looked at and the previous REITs, they're really high. And a lot of volume is coming in on this one, which is a good thing. I say a lot of volume relatively, you know, comparatively, you're getting at that nice 500,000 shares a day relative to the, you know, usually 300,000 shares. So the last two or three days, a lot of volume has been coming in. The warning sign is right here, two pennies away from a perfect tweezer top. Now, this is not saying the stock's going to go to zero by any means, just simply saying with a, I mean, literally two pennies away from a perfect tweezer top. Again, just not buying up here. And I would just really like a pullback into this 97 area if we get it. I realize that's almost a 5% move, but buying the dip in this particular super strong trend will be much better than buying a breakout, in my personal opinion. Unless, of course, we trade sideways for 3 or 4 days and then close above these tweezers, I would be interested. But other than that, again, I agree with Mike. I like REITs as long-term investments. And I mentioned earlier, ticker symbol O. This is one that I've really been a big fan of for a while. It's super fun to trade, a little bit better volume, decent option trading. And yeah, I like Realty Income, but that's just me.
Thank you. Neil? We lose Neil.
Hey, Neil, you're muted.
Let's see if I can unmute him. Am I able to unmute him? There we go.
I got it. REITs were really the only place to hide during the stock market crash here. So I think that play is kind of over in the short term, you know, because if you weren't getting it, the thing about a trade is if you're going to get into a trade, and I always do this, I think back and I think, where was the perfect time to get into this trade? It was probably route right here, to be honest, you know, with the low of the cloud, or just as it's about to pass through, or even just here. But if you haven't got in now, you have to always think to yourself, where would I, if I was watching this perfectly, where would I have gotten in? And if it's far above that, then really the problem is you weren't watching. And so now I would not be in this trade. And now we're probably going to go through a big pullback, I think, here. And 80% of stocks follow the market most of the time. So yeah, I would avoid it for now.
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the list today, guys, and we have a lot of defensive names on this list. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of tells you where this market's coming from. I've been doing this show with David and guys for over a year now. And, you know, usually it's filled with the Amazons of the world and Netflix, you know, all the high beta names. And there's a couple of them on here, but most of the names on here are more defensive in nature like this, which is, you know, not a surprise. For me, this name out of the Bollinger Band, RSI went hot. You're seeing a little bit of reversion today back in. I think you nailed it, Jeremy, with that little kind of tweezers top just missing there. By the way, I can draw here on Twitter too. I can make nice little circles and I can do all sorts of stuff. But honestly, I'm not a fan of this. I wonder here, and one of the things that keeps going through my mind this last couple of days is, you know, this market's still providing long opportunities. And that's something that we haven't always seen in bear markets where, you know, everything's not yet falling apart. So either the market's going to rally and these names are going to come back in because they already rallied a lot as they pull money out of defensive and they chase other names that are running. Or if this market dumps, all these defensive names are eventually going to come in. They're not going to be able to fight this forever. So I think if you're in it and you've made money, congratulations, put a stop in place and don't let yourself get caught. But I would not be chasing names like this here or REITs like this here. I think you're just asking for trouble. All right. So GS is the next name. Jeremy, I'm going to give you first shot. I do want to point out one thing, and I've been doing this show for a year, and the Wiz has not been on for a while with me, but man, he was hating this stock in January and February. Man, was he right. Go ahead.
No, anyone who was short Goldman Sachs, I mean, good for them. Let me see if I can get my screen sharing turned on. I love some good doses of honesty, and I missed this move all the way on Goldman Sachs. I watched it for day trades, options, swings. I did everything. I just missed it. And here's what's going on. So the monthly chart, we all see it. We all can see this pattern. It is a behemoth of some type of head and shoulders, just gargantuan. And realistically, once it closed below the neckline, we never got a retest, or at least yet we haven't gotten a retest. The argument then, of course, would become, was this the retest and the breakdown that happened? And of course, you could easily make that argument. So my thoughts on Goldman Sachs is the trend is unequivocally bearish at this particular point in time. The candle that really started the bullish move was back from the Trump rally early November 2016 after that election, right? You got that really strong gap up on a weekly. We've come to fill that gap now. That gap is entirely filled. And so we've retraced and fully wiped out all of the move on Goldman Sachs, which a lot of people really aren't talking about. So my thought is the trend bearish presently on all time frames. And my ultimate target is 154.31. I'm going to do my best to try to track down a short the rip opportunity on Goldman Sachs if we get one other than today. I did short JP Morgan today, a few minutes after open, but Goldman Sachs with this gap up, I think it's just going to continue down. Watch for it to hang out, shop around, trade sideways for a few days to weeks, and then again, eventually end up going down to 154, which I think that target, actually I have no idea how I based that target. Where did I get that from? It might be the 200 on a monthly, maybe? Oh, geez, we're even below that. Sorry, this is the weekly chart. Give me 20 more seconds. Monthly chart. Yes, 200 simple on a monthly, which we've never actually interacted with on Goldman Sachs. I would suspect that to be a little bit of a cause for pause. Right now, we're at the 100 simple moving average on a monthly. So we're going to hang out here. We're going to chill. And then when we break that, game on, boys. Let's have fun.
Love it. Neil, what are you thinking into Goldman Sachs? You looking to go long it, or you think this thing's going further down?
Well, there's absolutely no way I'm going to go long Goldman Sachs. I'm bringing up a point and figure chart.
Yes.
Here, and a lot of people who don't know, I'll just explain really briefly. There's a lot more to it. But once it goes into a column of X's, if it doesn't reverse by three boxes, you just keep stacking X's on top and on top and on top and on top. So if you look here, 2017, it just goes up and up and up. And then here, it has a little bit reversal. And then you'll see these patterns. But what you can really see is that these are exact points on a chart because they don't take into account pennies and things like that. So what you can see here is at 208, this was the triple breakdown. And this blue trend line, you can actually move it up to the bottom of these O's. So that actually would have been right about here. So when you have a breakdown and a break of the trend, really the time to short this was around 204 and then another breakdown here. And you can see the patterns perfectly on point and figure. So I always like to double check with these types of charts. So, I mean, we're in 100% no man's land. I would completely avoid it. And something a lot of people don't know is these big firms on Wall Street make more money on their trading desks than they do in their real business, which is investment banking. So that's a little bit of a statistic that I thought I'd throw.
Thank you.
Avoiding.
About a week and a half ago, I tried to short GS on a Friday morning with weekly options on the open. Let me tell you, that did not go too well. Premium burn did not work out very well. I didn't take a big loss, but you know, it was one of those things you're like, okay, this just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That said, RSI is oversold and banks do not like to be oversold on RSI. So I'm kind of in the position here. I would not be chasing this to the short side today. I think you're looking for a bounce. Now, the 8-day has been in control of this. If you look at the 8-day moving average, the gold line, you know, since we've broken it up here, it just cannot get above it, right? Hits it, fails. At this point, we're extended to the downside. We've had a long move down. We're way off the 21-day. And, you know, you got to look at things. Names like banks, they don't like being almost 20 handles off of a 21-day moving average. So I would look for a reversion bounce here, and then I would short it if I wanted to short it. The one thing, other thing I want to add, the banks are death here. The one thing that is for sure is, you know, if you look at what's leading the SPY down, it was the banks. The banks they've been beating on. There's nothing good going on there. Energy is not participating, but the banks are what they're using to move the SPY, and they keep leaning on it. So, you know, I wouldn't be chasing short here, but I may trade it for a scalp long, but, you know, I'd look to reshort if we could reconnect up around 190 area. We'll see. GLW. Jeremy, thoughts?
Man, such good analysis. I love being here. I'm already learning so much myself. Let's go check out GL Dubs Corning. Let's go pull this up.
Love this name. I haven't traded in forever.
Yeah, it's so pretty. I'm actually with you because it was much more expensive. Yeah, back in 2000, 2001, I got a huge crash. This thing, let's see. This is the monthly chart. I was just already on the monthly chart, so we're looking at it. Pretty sideways for a while, but it has really good volatility, nice training range, good volume. This is an old resistance at 28 that was really a 2008, 2006 high on Corning. So this is, again, the monthly chart, just really, really big perspective. This is a weekly chart, which is nice. The thing I'm noticing immediately about the weekly is we had a really good accumulation phase down here at the 100 simple, had a very, very pretty pop, and we have reverted back to the mean. We had a nice retracement. So again, we're hanging out trading sideways into these areas. So if I'm looking at GLW, I'm gonna pop over here to the daily chart. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna kind of remove these lines now because they don't look nearly as pretty on the daily. But you can see that we are stuck in between the long-term moving averages. So on a position like this, if we're stuck in between the long terms on the daily, but we're above the long terms on the weekly and the monthly, I'm looking for some type of option selling strategy to see if I can find any kind of premium realistically in GLW. So I would be looking for, if I go back to the weekly chart, some type of bull put spread or put sale on the downside, realistically just capturing what most likely will be some type of sideways chop fest as we hang out, let the 100 kind of slowly press it up, again, back to the daily chart. You'd probably be looking for that 28 28, 26 January bull put spread type of time frame, and your candle that you would really be watching for if you're going to exit or unravel that spread would be a close below this guy, which is the October 23rd candle. As long as that doesn't happen, I wouldn't really worry about playing defense on a credit spread on GLW.
Thank you. Neil, you know, I had an argument. Some sites list this as a tech company. I always think of them as glass. I know they make the Gorilla Glass for the phones and some other applications, but I always think of Corning, like, you know, kitchenware and stuff when I think of these guys. So I don't know why some people think of these as a tech company. What are your thoughts? Neil, you on mute?
Yeah, Neil, you're muted again.
Isn't Corning, they made the fiber optic cables back in 2000, so it was a really huge deal.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's pretty much the big play with Corning, isn't it? And I mean, I don't know what's going on with the new 5G upgrades. Maybe the person that wrote up there might be somehow involved in that. I'm not an expert in this field at all, but all I can say from the chart is that it's pretty boring and pretty low volatility and kind of a bizarre sideways chart. So, I mean, I would avoid it for sure.
Thank you.
Sorry, I can't offer any more fundamental analysis on that.
Nope, it's fine. You know, for me, there's no real compelling trade here right now. It's not acting like a defensive name. Some of the ones we've seen that have been very strong. It's holding in. It's kind of biding its time. It's got a wide, loose range, and there's money to be made on it, but I just think there's easier names to trade than this right now. If you like the company, it's a good place to try, especially if you can get a tag of the 200-day. I would try it off of there, but probably not going to get that here. All right, Jeremy, I know you have to go soon, so why don't you quickly do Microsoft? We'll do that one, then we'll circle back to you to tell us a little bit about yourself. So why don't you tell us about Microsoft?
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, let me hop over to Microsoft. This one, I actually still have my squiggles on from the last time that we had a session together. And I think it's going to get pretty close to what happened here. So we talked about a good run up the last time we had a sesh and then expected a really big retracement. It did not come back down to 100, which was kind of what I was hoping for. So I did not get back in on Microsoft I didn't get in at all on Microsoft on this pullback. But what is really cute is this gorgeous high wave candle. So you got this high wave candle with a little bit of a resistance here, a little bit of a support right here. And Microsoft has been choppy, taking the place for the number one market capitalization company in the world, battling Apple right now. So that's going to be, and it continually will help. You could realistically hope for a trade sideways on Microsoft and then a break in either direction, up or down. That's the way to play Microsoft. Kind of bracket this candle and don't be afraid if it does roll down, because you do have a little bit of a lower high coming in right here, just like that. But you also have some higher lows coming in if we draw something like this. So we have a little bit of a trading range that's going to start compressing inwards, and we're going to get a breakout in some direction at some point on Microsoft. My thought would be bullish, but for right now, we'll just have to wait and see what the market gives us.
Thank you. Neil, what do you think of Microsoft?
I'm just looking here at the Ichimoku cloud. What a beautiful trend this had since the election. Just coming down, touching the cloud every single time. I mean, every single time it touched the cloud, you could have bought. And then now we got a break of the cloud, a whole bunch of volatility. The cloud has flipped. So I would just completely avoid it, really. No trade for me.
This is where I differ from you guys. This has been one of the strongest names in tech and in the queues over the last 2 months as we've gone through this correction. And it's still above all the moving averages, above the 100, the 50, the 21, the 8. And you're above every fast moving average, all the big ones. This name is the first to bounce. I know it's, you know, and tries to go. If there's any name in tech I want to be long other than possibly Amazon, it's this name right here. This is the name that if I wanted to play a tech name, it would be one I would want to hold and try to go for. It's acting strong. It's acting better. It's holding in better. It tagged the 200 day and bounced hard twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you look at this chart, that beautiful move, it's consolidating it. All it's doing is going mm-hmm. sideways, consolidating this in a big range. The market's big. So, you know, this is holding in better than anything else. This is where I'd want to be in tech right now. This is one of the better names out there. Jeremy, I know you have to go. So a couple minutes before you have to leave, why don't you tell us about a trade you like for the upcoming week or month, and then tell us how to get a hold of you and about what you do so people can know all about you.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Trade that I like for the next upcoming week. I'm going to look to short Verizon just because I really like this gap up today. So let me get my my screen sharing turned on. I'll probably end up doing this with options, maybe short the shares. I know this is counter trend, by the way. And I'm allowed to trade counter trends as long as it's fast, but we do have a little bit of a double top. We did close below the neckline, and I think this is a retest. I could be crazy on that, probably am, but I like this gap, and I think this gap is going to fill. So I'm going to be looking for Verizon to pretty much break down. If that happens, I'm going to look to hop into 58 put for January and just let it trade down into these $56 level. And then from there, it'd be a great long. Again, I do know this is a counter trend trade, but realistically, I'm just looking for this gap to fill. Now, of course, if Verizon just breaks through and keeps on running, by all means, that's totally fine. I'm looking for this to just refill, retest this gap, look for this double top to maybe play out. Here's also a weekly chart, and you had a one black crow candle last week with good volume. So I'm just saying maybe Verizon has a little bit of a pullback. As far as reaching out to me, if anyone wants to, you're more than welcome at any point in time. My email address is, trying to get it with a text, is jeremy@reallifetrading.com. You can also reach out at my website anytime you want, reallifetrading.com. My goal and mission is to enrich lives. I want to do that by teaching people from all ages, all backgrounds, all social and economic norms, how to trade the stock market profitably, safely, and protect their capital. So that's kind of what I do. And gentlemen, it's been an absolute honor and privilege. Thank you again for having me here.
Jeremy, thanks for being on. Real pleasure. By the way, they loaded up on AT&T February 25 puts today, 22,000 of them. Oh, and they didn't just buy a block. They swept them over and over and over again all afternoon. So, you know, this market's funny about how things tend to follow in the same sector. So it may portend well for your Verizon short there.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You rock, buddy.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, Neil, you and me to the end of the day. It's you and me versus the world here for the last half an hour.
Hey, guys, we had a request from the live audience for NVIDIA, NVDA.
Sure.
You guys want to do that before we get back to the list?
How about I'm going to let Neil give us a stock he likes, and then we'll start off with NVIDIA in the next round. So,
okay.
Neil, why?
I wasn't ready for a pick that I liked right now, so let me
all right, then let's do NVIDIA, and you can think about that. Go ahead.
Well, that was first the monthly chart of NVIDIA that I brought up. And I don't look at monthly charts too often, but wow, can you imagine this? What was it? 293 to 148, so almost cut in half. And the thing about trading is you got to remember is that something that looks like a great deal often becomes a much, much, much better deal. So just because it's all the way down here doesn't mean this thing can't seriously go down to $78. But the way I look at it now, I mean, trends can go. I mean, I have all these sayings, you know, from some of the books I've read, just things I picked up over the years, but trends can go further and last longer than you ever thought possible. So even on a big high flyer like NVIDIA, but if I was going to buy something here, I would not risk my money on NVIDIA in any way. I mean, just around the corner, there could be some type of announcement that could see this thing crash 20% at the open. So I would completely avoid it.
You know, a couple of things come into my mind here. There's an old saying, and I'm trying to remember it. The markets can remain, what's that word, where they just, you know, you keep thinking that this
liquid.
Should bounce liquid longer than you can stay liquid, right?
I think markets can stay liquid longer than you can stay solvent.
Yeah. Right? Or irrational. Markets can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent.
That's the one, yeah.
Yep. And when I look at Twitter here, and I you know, first of all, I'm not on Twitter, NVIDIA. I do think that the semis sector is in a cyclical downturn. And I've been telling this to my members now for a while and saying, you know, we love to trade the semis because they move, but they're day trades. They're nothing more than day trades, get in, get out. You don't want to be holding these things. The other thing, did you hear the news today? The rumor that SoftBank said they're going to sell their stake in NVIDIA next year. And
why not just sell it now?
Well, I don't believe that rumor because why would they pre-announce they're going to sell their stake?
That's really weird. Yeah.
They wouldn't. So, you know, I saw that report and I'm like, I don't believe that. They're either out already, right? Which would make sense. Or it's a false rumor because they would never pre-announce it because then they're going to get lower prices.
Yeah.
That said, only one person has really defended NVIDIA. That was Citron down here, of all people, who shorted the hell out of this thing over the last year and a half. I don't see this name as something I want to own here. I will day trade it. Notice how it keeps failing at the 8 or the 21 day. Today, again, right to the 8 day and failed again on it here. And you can see this gold line, this earnings gap. I mean, there's just nothing to like here. That said, if the market rallies, this name will rally hard because it's, you know, extended down, it's oversold. But this is nothing but trades. And it's possibly a short back towards the 130 area. So that's my thoughts here. Other than trades, either way, I'm just not interested in anything to do with it. So we talked about Verizon. Next up is AT&T. So So told you about the puts today. What do you think about AT&T?
Looking at it before, I think it's just incredibly boring and a lot of low volume. There's absolutely no way I'd be long. But from what you were saying about the puts, I think it might be a good bet. You seem to know a bit more than me on this one. Would you like to take this one?
Sure. So for me, I'm a big follower of options, right? And this is today. And these didn't come in one block. These were small lots all day long. And you can see how they just, 22,000 of them piled up over the course of the afternoon. They were coming in after them over and over again. That's pretty aggressive. At the 25 level, there were 27s bought, 26s. Some of these were probably rolling, but somebody thinks this thing's going a lot lower. What's interesting to me is you have Verizon, AT&T, you have 5G coming, but it's still at least a year away. And I think the market is kind of realizing that. And again, look at the one-year trend on this. It's down, right? We look at this chart. Where is that? Here we go. Right? It's down. It's not a pretty trend line, but it's down. And then down in this area, you have a lot of support. So if you get down towards 29, maybe you can try to buy it off of that. I'm just not a huge fan of this name right now. I don't know what they're going to do. I think there's better names to play out there than this one. I think the market needs to be working for this to have a shot. And even when the market was working this year, it really didn't trade particularly well. When we went back and made a new all-time high in the SPY this year and the Qs, this did not follow suit. That's a sign of a weak name. I think there's better names to be played. How about ABX? You have any thoughts on that one?
I'm glad we got a gold name finally. I was really bearish on gold stocks this year. I mean, we did some trades to the short side on gold and gold stocks, but gold's been rebounding. And as a disclaimer, I have my readers long UGold, UGLD, the triple leverage bullion ETF. We got in at 82, but now it's looking a bit sketchy at this point. Ceilings become floors and floors become ceilings. So if I look here, this is where it made the triple top breakout at about 13.5. So you could still stay there. I don't always trust these inverse hammers. They're not always a sign of a top. If the trend doesn't look like it's completely finished, it can be a bit of a fake out when it's starting a new trend at times. If you look back here, you see kind of see one here as well and a little one back here as well too. So, but right now I would not necessarily buy it, and it's close enough to buy it on another breakout. And if this breaks out, you could head up to about 18 or so. But a lot of this sort of depends on gold and what's going to happen. Gold is going to move based on the deficit growth rate expectations. So it's also going to, what's happening with Brexit as well. That may have a little bit of an effect on gold. So, but follow the charts, and I would do a breakout a little bit over 14, I think, would be okay here if you wanted to get in.
You bring up a great point about gold. Come back to this one in a second. Gold woke up when the market started to sell in early October, right? We had that huge engulfing bar on the GLD and the gold products. And then it couldn't go, right? It just sat here and frustrated the living hell out of everybody. And then finally, in the last couple of days, it woke up, broke above this range, and came right back in. I'm pretty sure I think you're better with gold than I am. But this is, the end of the year is usually a seasonally strong time for gold, if I remember correctly.
I'm really not sure about the seasonality. No, I don't know.
For some reason, somebody was telling me that it tends to run at the end of the year. ABX is good. This is a good gold miner. There's other ones out there. Is it GG Gold Corp? I think was another one that was really good.
Gold is going to go up. I mean, people say it's an inflation hedge, which is absolutely not true at all. It's just something for brokers to tell people that's easy to understand. The way gold moves is if deficit growth rates are expected to increase. So anything that could cause the deficit to go up much more than expected, and that can be, social welfare programs cause deficits because they never budget for them properly. War causes deficits tremendously. That's why gold rallied in the first place in 2003. And right now, there's still massive deficits in the U.S., but they're not as big as expected. They're not necessarily as big as they once were. So basically, everybody wants to hold U.S. dollars. No one really wants to hold gold unless you have to. So what's going to be better to hold? And it's all about the one or the other one. So people want cash. I mean, it's just easier to have. If I had to hold something for 100 years, I'd obviously hold the gold. But you have to look a little bit at what's happening in politics. You have to look at the U.S. dollar, and the gold moves inversely proportional to the U.S. dollar pretty much all the time. So when the dollar is crashing, gold is rallying. But what makes the dollar weak? Deficits make the dollar weak, because when you have deficit spending, all loans are brand new money. So all deficits increase the money supply. That's what makes money weak. That's what inflation is. So if you look back to 2003, there
is 3 times as much money circulating in the M2 money supply now as there was in 2003. That's why house prices have doubled and tripled. That's why your burger now costs you $26 at your favorite place instead of $10 in 2003. So basically, that's what gold is. But the budgets look to be getting balanced by some sort of miracle. I mean, in the late 90s, there was actually a surplus for a year or two, and that was when gold was down at about $200. And then deficits increase and gold goes up. So look at what's happening a bit on the political scene and then see how it's playing out in the charts, and you should get your answer on gold.
And the miners need gold to move. Miners won't move much without gold going. So, you know,
well, yeah, the thing about the miners is that I think the average amount of money it takes to get an ounce of gold out of the ground is around $1,000, but it varies tremendously. Some gold is really easy to get out, some isn't. So if gold hovers around that $1,200, it's getting very, very sketchy for some of these miners, and a lot of them are on the edge of bankruptcy. So you should be able to find out the weak names, and if gold goes down below that level, you could do some tremendous shorts on some small cap gold companies, but it's hard to follow everything in the markets. But that's the big deal about this price of gold. And if it rallies and it kind of gets to a place where some of the gold companies will feel more comfortable, because I don't think they hedge anymore. I mean, Barrick and these other companies had huge hedges on gold prices from all those years of bad gold prices way back in the early 2000s. And then they slowly started undoing them all. And then Barrick became unhedged completely somewhere around 2006, 7, 8, I don't remember exactly. So if gold rallies a bit more, you're going to get a better play on the gold miners, and especially the junior ones, because they'll get that relief that, hey, we're not going to go bankrupt. So if a company realizes it's not going to go bankrupt, a lot of that bankruptcy is priced into the stock. So then you can get this huge, hey, we're not going bankrupt rally, which can be a big rally.
Right. So if you don't want to play ABX, which is a nice name in the space, I would just play Nugget. It's a leveraged ETF. It's a day trading vehicle. But it moves 3 times that and it does well. But really, GDX, just play the gold miners or JNUG, one of these, the junior gold miners. These are easier to play. They're more encompassing. They're more liquid in the option world. That's why I like those as well. All right. SMTC. I don't know much about this guy.
I don't know much about it either. So I'm guessing that whoever wrote it works at the company. So yeah, I don't like it at all. You know what I never like on the charts very much? All of these flat top Ichimoku bounds. It's very hard to break through these. You see, when it broke through to the downside, it was through the skinny section of the chart. But when you get these flat tops, and it's like on the S&P 500, I just don't like it. I've seen it a lot of times. It's very hard to break through this flat top. And so, yeah, I would completely avoid it, unfortunately, because I think whoever wrote in works at the company. But if you hold it, the big breakdown, of course, is at 41. And if you look back over time, yeah, I thought this might be the case. I mean, you look at a company like this and these breakdowns, I mean, don't think that a stock can't go way down from the 50s down to the teens. I mean, they can. So if I even bring the stock back
Look at the haircut, some of the names we've seen in this market of late, like Square and Roku. I think we're going to talk about Roku soon. I mean, yeah. Some huge haircuts.
So I would avoid, and then you have that, oh, wow, okay, this is the weekly chart. So this is a tremendous turnaround story. But for now, here's the weekly chart. Yeah, I mean, if you hold it, I would be selling around the 39.40 area if it's more of a long-term hold type of thing that you really want. And then if it kind of keeps hanging around below this cloud here and starts breaking down 38, then that would be the last call when I'd really get out.
So this is an electronics company. They're based in Toronto. They don't do enough volume. For me, you can see most days this thing does about 500,000 shares or less. That's not a name I'm typically going to get involved in unless I'm investing in it as a long-term hold. And so this is a fundamental story. If you know about it, you probably know more than both of us talking here because we're not familiar with it. If I look at this thing technically, it's corrected with the market, right? It already, corrected with the market. It's holding the 200-day, so it's actually holding in better than a lot of other names out there right now. If you know the fundamentals, you know what this company is doing, you like it. It's a long-term investment. I don't know enough to sell you to get out of it or short it here. I don't know what they do. I don't know anything about what they are about or how they work out here. So for me, very, very simply, this is either a long-term investment or I'm not going to touch this stock. And I think I'll leave it at that. All right. The next couple of names are a lot more interesting. We got about 15 minutes to go. United Healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare is the best sector to be in the whole market. The entire healthcare sector is expected to grow twice as fast as the rest of the overall economy. It's got the best relative strength to the market. I don't like these big rallies up and then a complete rally all the way back down. It's a little bit, I just don't like it. But if you wanted to get in here, you could, and just put a stop a little bit below around 255. In case you're wondering about how to position size on this, because sometimes it looks like the stop is very far away, then all you do is you just put less in the trade. So if an average amount for you is around maybe 10,000, you put in 5, and then you can have an appropriate stop, because otherwise you're going to keep getting stopped out when the stock is actually going in the same direction that you want, and then the volatility is getting you knocked out. But I think it's okay here. Yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, everything follows the market. Well, 80% of things follow the market. So make sure that the market is going up overall if you want to get into this, because the healthcare stocks, they have to follow the market. There's some sectors that don't, but these have to.
I think that's a great point. I mean, anything we're talking about here, the market needs to hold in, right? And I think that is a huge question right now, whether this market's going to hold or not. It's volatile, it's wide and loose, it's whippy. You know, we have a well-defined channel that we are playing back and forth inside of. And right now, this week so far, the bears have the edge. We'll see if that holds up or not in the next couple of days. Again, I think you nailed it. This is one of the stronger names. Healthcare has been a strong space. Finally showing some weakness. Got below the 8 and the 21 day. Those are my fast moving averages. And it hasn't been able to retake them. Even on a day like today, when it opened up, it couldn't get above them on the open. So holding the 50 day and the 100 day has been its line of defense. So, you know, to me, the 100 day is an area I would try to trade again. If it would hit it again tomorrow, if we had some weakness on the open and you liked it, that's a place to try it. The one thing I don't like about this name is options are expensive and they are not liquid. Very hard to play the options on this name. A name I generally avoid in the option space. And I typically just don't trade this name. I know it can move big. It's just not a favorite of mine. I think there's other names that move better out there, or play an ETF like the XBI or something like that. All right. So, Neil, I usually let you go first. I'm going to start first because Roku is one of my favorite names. I love this name. I love the space they are in. I love what they're doing. That said, this has been one hell of a wicked haircut from 76 back down today. We got down to just above 34. They are a disruptor, right? But they're facing a lot of challenges. They're trying to take on the Amazons of this world. But they're facing a lot of challenges with, you know, with that. But that said, they're on just about everybody's TV set now. You buy a new TV, pretty much comes with Roku loaded on there, and you can get any streaming app onto theirs. Plus, they have their TV services starting. Did it deserve to get cut back this far? I don't think it did. But, you know, in this market, the high flyers got sold off. I still think long-term, somebody's going to buy them. RSI is getting oversold here. It's out of the Bollinger Band. I would look for some type of bounce. In fact, there was a little bit of call buying into this name today. It wasn't huge, but it was definitely something that caught my attention as they came in and they hit it a little bit. Where are they? Pulling it up. Sorry. You know, when you want something, you never get it. There we go. They hit the Jam 38s today. They opened. They were brand new trade into it. Wasn't a huge amount, but they're brand new. We like that when we see that. I do think at some point this name is going to turn around. Better area of support probably comes in around 30, 31 area. So it may have a couple more bucks to go if the market sells off. What do you think, Neil?
Yeah, I think it's not bad right now. I'll just bring the chart up as well. Or just keep, we can keep your, is your chart still up?
It is, but only from talking, I think.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure how that works. So anyway, I'll just bring my chart up. It'll be pretty much the same. And yeah, Roku follows the market almost identical. So again, make sure the market's up if you want to get into this trade. But it certainly looks like it might be bouncing here. Typically, a way a pattern like this is going to go, this is not the best really bottoming candle, but it would probably come up, kind of consolidate like this for a little while, kind of come up here. I would think it would take maybe a week or two to finally get a breakout over here at around 40, 41. And another thing about Ichimoku Cloud they don't usually teach you is that the thicker the cloud is, the more chance of a turnaround. And this is a darn thick cloud. So I think you might be able to get, you know, a move back, you know, once it breaks out up into the maybe the mid 50s. So it's definitely something to keep on your watch list, that's for sure.
All right, we got about 9 minutes to go. Why don't we do Nike? I'll let you start with this one.
I haven't been following the Kaepernick fiasco.
Is that what that is?
Wait, so do you, what's the deal with him? He's not playing football at all now, right?
No, he's suing the NFL.
Okay, this is just hilarious. This is, can you tell us more?
He's been out of the league for 2.5 years. Washington is down to their, they signed a guy, two guys off the street that haven't played in 2+ years of football, and they refused to talk to Kaepernick. Wow. But yet Nike gave him this huge deal.
Yeah.
And they got a bounce on that. That said, I personally think Kaepernick's done with his career in football. Maybe he has a political activist career ahead of him. I don't know.
And this is all because of what he did with the anthem.
Well, his playing, I'm a big football fan, and I would argue that his skills were not there. He wasn't worth the contract. He bowed out of his contract. So okay. He had an out, and he took it, and then nobody wanted him. And, you know, so I don't know, you know. I think part of it's his politics, but I think the other part is he got himself, he might be a vegetarian. He's 150 pounds right now. Name
he's
a 150-pound guy that's going to hold up in the NFL when a 350-pound lineman falls on you.
I can't imagine a vegetarian being in the NFL.
I can't either.
Wow, this is just incredible. I guess, they say, can we relate this to the stock market somehow? Is that it never pays to be a pioneer. You know, you got your Bill Gates, you got your Steve Jobs, and you got Elon Musk. But really, the people who make the money are the ones selling the picks and shovels, right? They're just kind of hanging out on the side, making the money. So he definitely blew his career. But as far as the chart goes, this is literally identical to the S&P 500. So I'll bring up Nike here. And yep. Then I'll bring up SPY.
Right to the 100-day, right?
I mean, this is almost the same chart.
Yep.
So I would completely avoid it. I mean, without a doubt, right now. I mean, the thing about all these stocks we're looking at is they're all in negative trends, except for those real estate investment trusts. And no one ever got rich trying to catch knives all day long. So when you're trying to buy a stock as it's falling, you're trying to catch a knife. And no matter how close to the bottom you catch a knife, you're going to hurt yourself, right? So I would avoid Nike. And, you know, a lot of people, they're watching the market, they say, It's going down. I can't wait to buy. Well, you should probably already be short the market, and you should have already gotten out near the top of the market. You had signs to do it. So I would just completely avoid it. And you know, I hope that you can keep us up to date on that Kaepernick fiasco.
Markets are not easy to short. Not when you have everything going on in the world and a president who tweets or talks about China and sends the algo screaming higher at any given moment. So
yeah.
It's very, very tough to be short in this market. It really is. I'm with you. It's trading with the market. There's other names that are trading better than this. I'd rather be than them and them this. That said, long term, Nike's probably one of the better names out there. But I, if you like it, it's probably a screaming buy somewhere down the 70 area if it gets to it again. Let's go to a name. We have one more. Let's do one more name, and let's go to a name that has been bucking the trend. And let's go to BMY, a big pharma company. Not bucking it so much. Not like Merck and J&J and LLY.
So you want my opinion on BMY?
It looks horrible. Go ahead.
It's just a complete disaster. I just have no idea what to even say about it.
Yeah.
If this is your ex-girlfriend, you should not bring her back, is all I know.
Yeah, but come on, it's fun to have a train wreck.
You know, I mean, this is just, you know, because this is, you know, right when, anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but I would just completely avoid it, yeah.
You know, a lot of big pharma companies are doing well right now. So, you know, you want to play with one right now. Look at names like Merck. Look at the strength that we've seen in this name. Look at this beautiful chart holding in nicely here. J&J, right? Johnson & Johnson. Look at this beautiful chart right up here at all-time highs. Lilly, LLY. Again, why would you want to buy BMY down here unless you knew, you thought some drug news was coming or something? I just, big pharma, they've been hiding in this for the last 2 months, but not BMY. So I agree with you. Better place to play. I would not be looking at BMY. I'd be looking at some of these. All right, one more and then let's do it. You want to do UN gas, natural gas, or a pot stock? You choose.
Let's do both. We'll just do it real quick.
Okay, UNG then. Go ahead. So you got it up.
Natural gas is incredibly difficult to trade. If you try to make a living trading natural gas, you will probably blow up your account because there's only going to be a few perfect times to buy it every couple years. But right now, it's just incredibly sketchy with this volatility here. This does look sort of like a triangle where you have the lower tops and higher bottoms, so it will squeeze.
You have a wedge. I mean, you have a very, you have a very, very clear wedge on this name right now.
I'll let you bring up your wedge chart.
There's your wedge chart, right? So you got a very clear wedge right now on this pattern, which means we're going to get a break of this one way or the other real soon because there's not much room left.
Yeah, I was actually bringing up natural gas, but it was the same, yeah.
What I don't understand is we're still such a surplus. We burn off so much every day because we can't store it. Why are they running running it up here. It just seems manipulated.
Yeah, I'm not a big natural gas expert, but yeah, it's a really tricky business. I still remember the days of when Calpine had the natural gas turbines in Southern California, and then you had Gray Davis, and they called him Dr. Dark because he had the rolling brownouts, and he didn't like big companies because he thought they were really bad, and then he only let them buy short-term contracts instead of long-term contracts, and then, you know, half the state's running out of power. So that's all I remember about natural gas.
Well,
so
one more thing is, I know it's supposed to be warm for the rest of the month on most of this country, so that's not going to be good for natural gas prices either. All right, last name, pot stock, Kron. The news last week was that MO was taking a stake in him, which they did. And that's why we're up so much here.
Yeah, I don't like these gap ups with no follow through at all. So I would completely avoid this. And you got to be real careful on these kind of stocks because it's sort of like a buy the rumor, sell the news type of thing. And I would also look at the market capitalizations and try to see what would be a reasonable type of market capitalization for the stock that you're looking at. But I guess there could be a lot of buyout candidates in the industry for sure. I'm just not an expert on that sector.
So for me, I play these names on and off. The rumor was that they were going to get bought. It turned out that MO took a stake in them, and they have the ability to buy another 10% at 19 a share. I love how it's holding the gap. Typically, when you get a rumor like that, the rumor gets sold off. But I don't know what the next catalyst here. As you said, if they're not getting bought out here, what's the next catalyst? I know we have the farm bill possibly coming through on Friday, which would be good for pot stocks, so like TLRY, NDEV, Kron, CGC, right? But I don't know, other than that, what's the next catalyst here? So as long as it holds that gap, I would look to try to go long on it, but I would be worried if it got in that gap, it would come back down quickly to that 1050 area. All right, we are out of time. If you have a trade you want to tell people about, go ahead, Barry. And if not, just tell us how we get a hold of you and what you do. Did I call you Barry? I'm sorry, Neil.
Yeah, you know,
Barry just messaged me on Twitter. I'm like, what?
You know, the last time I was on the show, I said bonds and gold. And I know bonds are very boring, but you can make a lot of money on options on bonds. That's for sure. And a lot of people don't know that the biggest futures market is the bond futures market. So, but now, unfortunately, bonds have done really well coming off 113 to 118. A lot of this was because of the Powell announcement in anticipation of slowing down on raising rates. So I don't really know if bonds are going to be great here. We had an order for the triple bullish bond ETF, but it did not quite trigger on a breakout here. So I'm going to say, if you were on the show a couple of weeks ago, that probably now is a good time to not enter a new position in bonds unless there is a fantastic breakout and more news from Powell about easing off. And my old one was REITs, and those are also sort of peaking out. So I'm not really sure I have the best pick now, to be honest. So you're going to have to catch me next time.
Okay. Well, tell us how we catch you and about what you do.
Sure. You can visit me at traderreview.net and sign up for my newsletter. I give away a lot of good commentary of what I think is happening in the market and where I think things are going to go. And basically, when I think you should get completely out of the market or when I think things look good to get back in. So I do a lot of overall market and sector timing as well, saying what I think is going to be the best gold, bonds, things like that.
Thank you, sir. So for me, you guys have listened to me long enough. You know I love Twitter. You know I didn't trade it a lot this last year, but I am bullish on it again. And the reason I'm bullish on it here, and we've been focusing on it in my service now, is, you know, the 200-day was resistance back here, and it's held in so well. Like, if you look at the correction this market, Twitter hasn't really cared. And then it came in, it was support, and then it's been resistance. And today you finally got a close over it out of the Bollinger Bands. The Bollinger Bands are tight, indicating that we're likely to get a big move. And you kind of have a void now. You have a little bit of resistance where it stopped at today, but you get above there and you got the gap here at 37.47. So you could see a quick move up to that 37.47 spot where it may languish a bit ahead of earnings. Or if the market's really strong, it may try to go fill that. They were buying January 35s and 37 calls today. 2 weeks ago, we had a massive buyer of January 2020 70 calls. And I'm talking like 100,000 of them. We're not talking a little. Big time buying in this name. This is one of my favorite names. I think they're one of the better names. A couple of analysts have come out and said they think they're the best play in social media, that they're winning the race. I like it. Anyway,
hey,
go ahead.
I was just going to say something on your chart, or I don't know if I still see it as being up there, but a lot of these gaps often get filled. Even if you go back to early in the year when it gapped up and then you can see it move down again about 27. And now you kind of have the opposite where it gapped down. And so I think if it breaks out, you can get that move to 43, 44 pretty easily.
There's an old saying in Wall Street, right? All gaps get filled eventually.
Yeah.
Right. And you do have an inverse head and shoulders pattern here. I mean, you can see it clearly. Left shoulder, head, right shoulder, and your neckline is right in the area where we're at. So, you know, this is, I like this name. This is a name that if you're looking to be long a tech name, this is one I'd be keeping my eyes on or buying it for long term. Lastly, for me, smartoptiontrading.com. I do this every day. I'm live on microphone for 3 to 3.5 hours a day. I post all the option flow and news and events on Twitter and my trades and what I'm looking at. Every morning you come in here and you click on real time option flow. I do a morning setup video, talk about what I'm looking for the day, how I think the market's going to trade that day, or what were clues and what levels we should be looking at. You get a recap video every night talking about what the day, the best flow of the day was, what I liked, what I didn't like, what I traded. And if not, to add off of that, we do a learning webinar every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. It's for subscribers only, where we spend a half an hour to 45 minutes going over things you want to know more about, learn about, and teaching things that I can't go over with you during the day, although we do teach a lot during the day. So if you're interested, sign up, come to smartoptiontrading.com. I'd love to have you join me. Neil, it's been a pleasure having you and doing this again with you. Always a lot of fun to learn new things.
Great to see you again, Mike.
You too. And David, if you're there, I think we're all set. A little late, but we're here.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive of this or any of the past shows. Be sure to join us next week for both shows. Those will be the last episodes for the year. And I have Simon Klein, Norm Hallett, Dave Landry, Fausto Puglisi, Bennett McDowell, Larry Gaines, and Jim Kenny on the schedule for next week. So be sure to join us for those shows. And just want to thank my guests again for today. Jeremy Newsom of RealLifeTrading.com, Neil Batho of TraderReview.net, and Mike Pisani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.